Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody back from summer vacation. Hope everybody had a restful and invigorating vacation. We find recently in Parshas Akev at Shishi, the Pasuk says, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Oisa. Eretz Yisrael is a land that Hashem always looks after. Eretz Yisrael, Tamid Eini Hashem Lekecha Ba, the eyes of Hashem are constantly on Eretz Yisrael. Mereishis Hashana Vad Ach Rishana, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. We all know that in Eretz Yisrael, we feel, whenever we visit Eretz Yisrael, certain Hashgacha Pratis, certain things happen to us, at least that's been my experience. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you feel that the Hashgach of Hashem is all over the world, but it's even stronger in Eretz Yisrael, because as the Pasuk says, Hashem looks at Eretz Yisrael constantly from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. The question that the Mefarshim ask on this Pasuk is, why did the Pasuk change? At the beginning of the Pasuk it says, Mereishis Hashana, from the beginning of the year, and then the Pasuk says, Ve'ad Achris Shana, and until the end of the year. But either it should say, Mereishis Hashana Vad Achris Hashana, or it should say, Mereishis Shana Vad Achris Shana. Why is the first Shana with a Hey Hayadia, the year, and the second, the last Shana, referring to the end of the year, doesn't have the Hey? We'll come back to this question in a few moments after we discuss the past Shabbos that we have experienced has been a transitional Shabbos. It was the first Shabbos of Chodesh Elul, and what we've done in the Jewish calendar is that we have gone from the months of Tammuz and Av, which are focused primarily on the churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the avelus that we have, the mourning that we have over the destruction of the Holy Temple, both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the destruction of Yerushalayim itself. And we're making a transition into Elul and Tishrei and the Yomim Noroim. And I think there is a Dvar Torah, I may have mentioned it many years ago, worth repeating, a Dvar Torah I have in my Sefer Or HaOros on Amud Mem Aleph, and it's a beautiful thought of Rav Shimon Schwab Zecher Tzadik Levracha, which I had the zechus to personally hear Rav Shimon Schwab give this Dvar Torah in his shul Kal Das Yeshurun in Washington Heights, New York, and subsequently it was written in his famous Sefer Mayon Beis HaShoeva. So Rav Schwab discusses a medrash that we find in Eicha. The medrash tells us, Shloisha nis'avu b'loshen Eicha. There were three great leaders of Klal Yisrael who said prophecy, who said nevuah, using the word Eicha. Who are these three? Moshe, Yeshaya, and Yirmiyah. Where do we find that they use the word Eicha in their Nevuah? So Moshe we find in Dvorim, the beginning of Dvorim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, where Moshe Rabbeinu complains about the Jewish people, and he says to them, Eicha esa levadi torchachem umasachem verivchem. How can I bear alone all your burdens and your fighting? Klal Yisrael was full of Lashon Hara, Sinas Chinam, Machlokes, and Moshe says the burden of all your kvetching, of all your interpersonal problems, is how can one man bear this? Yeshaya used the word Eicha also. We, on Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we read from the first parak of Yeshaya. It's called Shabbos Chazon because that's how the Perek begins, Sefer Yeshaya begins, with the words Chazon Yeshaya. This is the vision, the Nevuah of Yeshaya Navi. And there in Perik Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Yeshaya also uses the word Eicha. Eicha Hoysa Lezoina Kirya Nemana. How did the faithful city of Yerushalayim become like a zona, like an immoral woman? What happened to Yerushalayim? And finally, Yirmiyo Anavi used the word Eicha. That's the most famous one. Every Tisha B'Av, we sit down on the floor, and the Balkora reads from Sefer Eicha. It's named, the Sefer is named Eicha because that's the first word in the Sefer, where Yirmiyo HaNavi says, Eicha Yashva Badod Ha'ir Rabasi Am Hoysek HaMana. How did this city of Yerushalayim, this bustling, busy metropolis of Yerushalayim, where millions of Klal Yisrael used to come, Ola Regel, three times a year, now, Eicha Yashva Badod, it's sitting alone, desolate, destroyed. This Ha'ir Rabasiyam, the city that had so many people, Hoysek Amana, was like a woman who's unfortunately an Amana who has lost her husband. She's alone. So that's what Yirmiyo HaNavi compares Yerushalayim to. I read there's a new kinnis that came out from the OU Press, from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and in it I read on Tisha B'Av a moving story of which brings out what Yirmiyo saw. We all know the famous story where Rabbi Akiva came to the Har HaBayis with the Talmidei Chachamim, and they saw a fox running out from the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And Rabbi Akiva began to laugh, and the other Talmidei Chacham began to cry. And there's a whole discussion, the Gemara in the Masechta Machkis, on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the last Daf of the Masechta. But the pasuk that comes to mind, and which is mentioned there in the Gemara, is Shu'alim Holchuva, that now foxes are going. So Rav Soloveitchik brings a story of a Holocaust survivor whose family perished in the Holocaust, and he was from the city of Vilna in Lithuania, the home of the great Goyin of Vilna, Rav Elio of Vilna, the Gro. And this was a city where thousands of people went to daven every Shabbos and every Yontiv, and there were many shuls that emptied out into a hoif. That's a Yiddish word for a yard. There was a shul hoif. There was a yard where all the thousands of people davening in different shuls, different nusach, Litvish, Hasidish, whatever, different minhagim and different shuls, but they all emptied out into that hoif, into that yard. And this person who survived the war in Yom Kippur, 1945, after the war had ended, he decided that he's going to go back to the city of Vilna, where he came from. And he went back, and what was there on Yom Kippur? Where thousands of people had been, now there was no one. It was all emptied out, all destroyed. And he decided at 4:30 in the afternoon he would go back to his house. And why did he decide at 4:30 to go back to his house? Because his mother, who was a very pious woman, used to daven in the shul a whole Yom Kippur. But every Yom Kippur at 4:30 she would leave. Why would she leave at 4:30? Because she had a cat. There was a cat that used to come to her house every day to be fed. And the cat came at 4:30 to be fed. So she used to leave the shul during Yom Kippur. Somebody had to feed the cat. She used to go home, feed the cat, and come back to davening. So he went to his house at 4:30. And sure enough, at 4:30, he hears on the door, he hears a scratching. And he opens up the door to the house, and there is the cat. The Shu'alim Holchuva. He says at that moment, the tragedy of the Holocaust was the sharpest that he felt. The hoif, the yard, there was the thousands of Jews were gone, desolate. As Yirmiyo said, Eicha Yashva Badad, Ha'ir Rabasiyam, this city that was so full of thousands of people, here in Vilna, where thousands of people used to come out from the shul. Nobody came out of the shul. All destroyed in the Holocaust. Who survived? The cat survived. Shu'alim holchuva. The foxes were running around in the makam of the Kachar Kadashim. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The fox remains. The Holocaust killed out all the Jews of Vilna. Who remained? The cat remained. So this is the tragedy that Yirmiyahu sees that unfolded in front of his eyes when he said, Eicha yashva badara ira basiyam. So Rav Schwab brings a pshat. What is the Chazal trying to tell us? That these three great leaders of Klal Yisrael, Moshe, Yishai, and Yirmiyah, that they spoke with the word Eicha. What's the message here? Very nice. Everybody used the word Eicha. There's a message. Rav Schwab said he thinks the message is the following. We find in the kinnas of Tisha B'Av, there many of the kinnas were written by a great gadol called Rabbi Lezer HaKaliri. Nobody knows exactly who he is, but he wrote many of the kinnas of Tisha B'Av. And in one of the kinnas, he writes, "Vayikoinen olav eicha be'ayeka be'esor." That he used an elegy, a kinui, a kina, concerning the churban of Eicha and Ayeka at the time of trouble of tsar, at a time when the enemy was attacking. What, in other words, what he's alluding to here, says Rav Schwab, is a medrash. The medrash says that there are two words in Hebrew that have the same letters, Aleph, Yud, Chaf, Hey. It depends what vowels you put. If you put one set of vowels, the word becomes Eicha, how. If you put another set of vowels, the same letters become a different word, and that word is Ayeka, where are you? So Rav Schwab says, you want to know about Moshe, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, they use the word Eicha. What's the message? The message is this, that Eicha means Ayeka. Now, what does that mean? Okay, now we have another question. What does it mean that Eicha means Ayeka? So Rav Schwab says a beautiful pshat. Who was the first person to use the word Ayeka? That was Adam HaRishon. When Hashem came to Adam and said, why did you do the chet of the Eitz Hadas? Why did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? So before Hashem asked him that question, Hashem asked a different question. The first word that Hashem used was, Adam, he said to him, Ayeka, where are you? And Rashi asked the question. Hashem had to ask Adam where he was? Yes, Adam was hiding in shame, naked in shame, behind the tree he was hiding. But Hashem, the pasuk says, Im yaster ish b'mistorim, v'ani lo yarena, if a person will try to hide, I will not see him. When Yonah ran away from Hashem, he didn't want to give a nevuah to Nineveh, and he was thrown into the ocean. He was swallowed up by the whale. Hashem didn't know where he was, that he was inside the belly of the whale. And if a person gets shot up to the moon in a rocket and lands on the moon, Hashem doesn't know he's on the moon. Hashem, you can't hide from Hashem. And the pasuk seems to say that there was a game here of hide and seek, that Adam was hiding from Hashem, and Hashem says, Ayeka, where are you? Come out, I can't find you. Can't be, that can't be the pshat. So Rashi answers this question by saying that of course Hashem knew where he was, but he didn't want to shock Adam HaRishon, so he calls out to him, he enters into a conversation with Adam HaRishon. And he says, Ayeka, where are you? Adam says, I'm here. And then they start a conversation. That's Rashi's pshat. Rav Schwab wants to say a different pshat. He wants to say it based on a medrash. The medrash says, you know what Hashem said to Adam HaRishon? Eichavis, look, Adam, what you were. Esmo ledati va'achshav ledati shel nachash. Yesterday you listened to me, and today you listen to the nachash. Esmoel, you were on the team, my team, and now you went to become part of the Nachash's team. You did the Avera. Esmoel, misoifo, elmat soifoi. Yesterday you were from one end of the world to the other. The Gemara says that Adam was from heaven to earth. Doesn't mean necessarily literally that he was a giant from heaven to earth, but it means someone who was created by Hashem. He was the Yetzir Kapov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem himself created Adam. So the stature of Adam HaRishon was like from heaven to earth, from east to west, from one part of the world to the other. And what va'achshav now? What happened to you, Adam HaRishon? B'toich Eitz Hagan. Now you're hiding amongst the trees of Gan Eden. So says Rav Schwab, when Hashem said to Adam, Ayeka, where are you? He was not asking a question, you're hiding, where are you? He was asking, where are you? That's not the real you. He was saying, Eicha, how? Ayeka, Eicha means Ayeka. It means, Adam, I can't believe this. It's astonishment. It's a wonder. Where are you? Yesterday you were so great. The Lashon of yesterday is a little difficult because a medrash says, a different medrash says, that these things happen from 1 hour to the next. Adam HaRishon was created on the sixth day, and on the same day, a few hours later, he already did the chet with the Eitz Hadas. But anyway, the medrash here says that yesterday, maybe it means, before you were great, and now what happened to you? In other words, Hashem is wondering, I can't believe it. In such a short time, look what you were, Echavis, look what you, how great you were, and look what happened to you now. You had such a mapola, you went down so steeply and so quickly that I can't believe it. How did this, how, Echa, how did this take place? Ayeka, where is the real you? That's not you, that's not the Adam HaRishon that I created. So if this is the pshat, that this is the relationship, the connection between the word Eicha, how did it happen, and Ayeka, where are you, the real you, it's like a wake-up call to Adam HaRishon. That's the pshat. That's the answer to Rashi's question, didn't Hashem know where Adam HaRishon is hiding? Of course he knew. He was trying to wake him up. Ayeka, where is the real you? If that's the pshat, now we understand the other medrash, that three said nevuah with the word Eicha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said to Klal Yisrael, Eicha Esa Levadi Torchachem Asachem Arivchem, he was saying the same thing, Eicha Ayeka, where is the real Klal Yisrael? The Klal Yisrael that was the Dor Deya. They received the Torah at Har Sinai. And now look what happened to them. They became a bunch of complaining, arguing people. They can't get along one with each other. So Moshe is saying to Klal Yisrael, where is the real you? Ayeka. Eicha, how did it happen that such a great people went down such madregas? And the same thing when Yeshaya looks at Klal Yisrael, looks at Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, tzedek yolenbo. Yesterday, righteousness was in the city of Yerushalayim. And now it became an unfaithful city. Eicha hoysa lezoyna kiryan emana. Is that the real Yerushalayim? Where are you? Eicha, how did this happen, Yerushalayim? That you had such a mapola from the great Yerushalayim to an immoral city. And so too Yirmiyahu. When Yirmiyahu looked at the destruction of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is the city about which David and Shlomo spoke, Yefein Naif Mesais Kol Haaretz, the city of David and Shlomo his son, which was the beauty of the world. Is this the same city, that beautiful, busy city with millions of people in it, and now it's like a Amona and Bodot, it sits alone? Is that the great city that I knew of Yerushalayim? Eicha, how did this happen? Ayeka, where are you? Where is the city of Yerushalayim? So now we understand what the nevuah of these three gedolim were. So it comes out, based on this, that when we sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av and we say Eicha, it's not just that we should cry, it's not just we should feel bad about what happened, but it's a wake-up call. It's an ayeko. Where is the real Yerushalayim? We have to rebuild the city of Yerushalayim. We have to bring it back, the kedusha, the holiness of Yerushalayim. The worst nivel peh that I ever heard in my life was in the Tachana Merkazit in Yerushalayim. Not in New York City and 42nd Street, in the bus station, the main central bus station, I heard a woman saying something terrible. So in the holy city of Yerushalayim, Ayeko, where are you? Where is the holy city of Yerushalayim? So that's what we have to think about when we sit on the floor and cry over the destruction. But now, it's not only Yerushalayim, but we have to speak to ourselves as well. That's the message of Tammuz and Av. Tammuz and Av is that every Tammuz and Av, we ask ourselves this question. Because we ourselves are a base of Migdash. The Pasuk says, V'asu li Migdash v'shachanti b'soicham. Make for me the Mishkan. Make for me the base of Migdash in Yerushalayim. And I, Hashem, will dwell amongst them. So the Al-Sheikh already points out, it should say, V'shachanti b'soichol. I will dwell in the Mishkan. It says b'socham, I will dwell in them. And recently I heard a pshat from the Malbim, the Pasuk ends, V'chein tasu, so you should do. What should you do? You, just like I, says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, V'shachanti b'soichol means b'soich kol echad v'echad. I will dwell, once you build a Mishkan, once you build a Beis HaMikdash, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is not that people should go to the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash and bring Karbonis and lock Hashem up inside the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose is that you should take the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash into your own lives. You should take it into your own heart. Your heart should become a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem says, I will dwell in the heart of each and every one. Rabbi Yehuda Levi said the words, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. In my heart, I will build a Mishkan. That's the purpose of the Mishkan in the Midbar. That's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. That Hashem dwells b'soicham. In the heart of every single Jew. So each one of us has a Mishkan. And what happens during the year with that Mishkan? Unfortunately, we become our own Titus. We become our own Nebuchadnezzar. We destroy the Beis HaMikdash in ourselves. We don't live up to our potential. We have to say to ourselves, Ayeka, where is the real you? Not only where's the real Yerushalayim, where's the real Klal Yisrael, where's the real Beis HaMikdash, we have to say where's the Beis HaMikdash in ourselves. Hashem gave each of us such potential. Are we living up to our potential? If not, it's Chas V'Shalom, like we are destroying our own Beis HaMikdash. But then there comes Elul and Tishrei. Elul and Tishrei, the purpose of Elul and Tishrei, I want to suggest, is to give an answer. The answer to this question, the wake-up call, an alarm, Ayeko, Av, is telling us, where are you? Where's the real you? The way you are today, that's not the real you. You could do much, much better than what you are doing today. What's the answer to that question, the tshuva? The tshuva is to do tshuva. The tshuva is to repent, to say to Hashem, Hineni. You ask me a question, Ayeka, where are you? The answer is, I'm going to do tshuva, I'm going to come back to the Madrega that I can be. I'm going to become Mashiach. I'm going to become Mashiach to my own Beis HaMikdash. Just like Mashiach will rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash, so too Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash within ourselves. We will become the Mashiach to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash within ourselves. So this is the transition from Tammuz and Av into Elul and Tishrei. Tammuz and Av asks the question, Ayeka, where is the real you? And Elul and Tishrei gives the answer, Hineni. The tshuva, the answer to the question of Ayeka, is to do tshuva. Once I do tshuva, then I come back to the high level that I really could be on, and hopefully I keep that with me for the whole year. Now we asked the question before What does the pasuk mean? Mereishis hashana va'arach rishana. It should either say both times hashana or both times shana. So the Mefarshim say the answer similar to what we were just saying. You know, at the every Rosh Hashanah, every Yom Kippur, we get better. We accept upon ourselves to improve. By the way, a person should take one or two things to improve. That's what the poskim tell us. Every one of us could improve in 1,000 different ways. But if you try to do 1,000 different ways, you'll do nothing. If you take one or two things which you know you're able to do, a Kabbalah, and this is what I'm going to work on this year, and every year you take one or two things. After 10 years, you already have 20 things you improved. After 20 years, you have 40 things you improved on. You're becoming a better person. If you work on something every year, one or two things that you're makabel that you can improve yourself in. So the problem is that every year you say to yourself, this is going to be Hashana. This is going to be the year. Oh, it's going to be a great year. And that's at the beginning of the year. But what happens by the end of the year? V'arach Rishana. The end of the year is like last year and like the year before. Unfortunately, we don't stay on a high level. We go down. That's why the beginning of the pasuk is Hashana, Rishis, Hashana, the beginning of the year. Arach Rishana, the end of the year, you're back to normal. You're back to, unfortunately, your low self. The greatness that a person can do is whatever you're mekabel at the beginning of the year, if you can keep it up throughout the year, that the end of the year should be Hashana, just like the beginning is Hashana. I just want to conclude with one thing something that we can be more careful about, and it's an article that I've written that I haven't yet been able to get it published, but I hopefully it will be published. And I'd like to read it with you and discuss it with you for a few moments. The article is, as we seek to improve ourselves, I think this is an area where all of us could be more careful. The article is entitled, Let's All Daven to Hashem, period, and then the word really, period. And here's what the article says. And it actually has to do with an incident that happened to me a few years ago, during the months of Tammuz and Av, as we are transitioning into Elul and Tishrei. This happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. It was on the fast of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz several years ago when I heard it loud and clear. The young man who was reading from the Torah at Mincha in that Brooklyn shul read perfectly, with great gusto. Perfectly clear, that is, until he made those two back-to-back grave errors. Adinoi, Adinoi, he enthusiastically called out in clarion voice as part of the Yichal Kriya. Every fast day in Shul, we read from this where Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to forgive the Bnei Yisrael for the chet of the Egel. Vayichal Moshe. So part of it over there is these two words, Hashem's name. This Balkore, who otherwise read beautifully, how did he pronounce these two, the names of Hashem? Adinoi, Adinoi. In my mind, there was a flash of the sign. I had seen the sign hanging on the bulletin board of the Yeshiva of Philadelphia, presumably with the consent of the Rosh HaYeshiva, Rav Elya Shvei Zitzal, and Yibarol Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita. It contained a letter from the great goyin and author Rav Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich, Hashem Yinkom Damav. He was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He was the Av Bezdin of a city called Shomloy in Hungary. And what was this letter all about? Concerning the proper pronunciation of Hashem's holy name. The letter reads in part, Behold, we, quote, Behold, we have a tradition in our hands from Sinai, from the mouth of the Almighty, that the reading of the honored and awesome name of Hashem in this world is Ah, and then followed by Doi, or Do, some people pronounce it Do, and then Noi. using the vowelization of chatav patach for the aleph, and the dalet with a cholam, and the nun with a kometz. Our master, the Chasam Sofer, and the Gaon, the master of the Yesod Vishor Shavodah Zal, and a whole slew of Gaonim and Kedoshim have already warned us that unfortunately there are many mistakes concerning this. One needs to be very, very careful about this matter. For this common mistake has spread among the masses, and even among those with fear of Hashem. Through a lack of concentration, the Dalid of Hashem's pronounced name is said with a shva as follows, Adnoi. It is certain that whoever pronounces Hashem's name this way has not said Hashem's name at all, and must repeat and make the bracha again, and so did the Chasam Sofer rule. In other words, a person wants to eat a fruit and says, Baruch atah Adnoi, Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Ha'etz. They were not yotze the bracha. They have to say the bracha over because Hashem's name is not pronounced Adnoi. This is the meaning of the Medrash. The Medrash says, quote, why does Israel pray and not get answered by Hashem? Because they do not know how to daven with Hashem's name. They mispronounce A and Doi, or Do as we said, and Noi. Now, there are other commentaries. The B'nai Yisoschar tells us a very deep Kabbalistic shot in this Medrash. But Rav Aaron Reich, who's writing this letter, learns the simple basic shot. Why does Israel pray and not get answered by Hashem? Because they don't know how to daven with Hashem's name. They're mispronouncing the name. They're not speaking to Hashem. Adnoi, that's not Hashem. On a recent visit to the Yeshiva of Philadelphia, this happened, what I'm writing now happened 2 days ago. I was in Philadelphia. I looked for the old sign. It had been removed and replaced with an abridged version of Rav Aaron Reich's letter. However, I noticed on the new sign an additional mention of Psukim from Tehillim, which we recite in Shachris on Shabbos and Yontav. Asagvehu ki yoda shmi yikra'eni ve'e'enehu. These are psukim from Tehillim, Perek Tzadik Aleph, Psukim Yud Dalet and Tezvav. And they mean in English, I will elevate him. Hashem is saying that he will elevate the person who's davening to him. I will elevate him because he knows my name, Hashem's name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. When we know how to properly pronounce Hashem's name, he listens to our tefillos and answers us. Rav Shimon Schwab Zitzel, in his classic work on Siddur, Iyun Tefillah, adds our Brooklyn Balkore's form of mispronunciation of Hashem's name, Adinoi. He writes, one needs to say the Dalet with a cholem, doi or do. And there's two ways to, accepted ways to pronounce a cholem, doi or do. And the nun with a kometz, and not with a chirik under the dalet, d, adinoi, as is the custom of some who are mistaken and think that they are pronouncing the name properly, and say the dalet with a chirik, adinoi, or a shvo, adnoi. And this, says Rav Schwab, is a disgrace of the honored and awesome name. One who pronounces Hashem's name with a chirik, even 100 times a day, Adinoi, 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 says it 100 times a day, is not transgressing saying Hashem's name in vain, because that's not Hashem's name. If you would say Adoi, you would say Hashem's name that way every time you say it for no reason. If it's not part of a bracha, then you're saying Hashem's name in vain. If one by mistake mispronounced Hashem's name Adnoi or Adinoi, does it count b'di'evet after the fact? There are certain dinim which l'chatchila, in the first instance, you're supposed to do it one way, but b'di'evet, if you didn't do it the right way, it still counts. So what about here? You pronounced Hashem's name wrong. Does it count? I once asked the great posig, Rav Pinchas Scheinberg Shlita. The reply was a resounding and emphatic no. You're not Yotze even b'di'evet. In short, based on the halachic rulings of all the Torah giants mentioned above, when we mispronounce Hashem's holy name, we are dialing the wrong number and reaching the wrong address. I said this shiur in Camp Anna Heller, where I'm the Manig Ruchni, and the girls had a lot of problems with this. So one girl said, well, what about the tears?
Right.
It says, Shari Demois Loinin Alu, the gates, the gates of tears are never closed. They're open to Hashem. And another girl said, Hashem knows his name. Hashem knows that you mean Daventim. So the answer I gave, first of all, I said that that's a woman's emotional reaction. A man would understand it much clearer. But there's validity to it. But what I said was, you're right. But you have an opportunity to speak to Hashem with your tefillos on a 3% horsepower, or if you pronounce his name correctly, you're doing it with 100% horsepower, 100 horsepower. So which one would you choose? Yes, you Hashem. Okay, there's tears. You mean it in your heart. You really meant the right thing, even though it didn't work out. It counts for something. But you're certainly, no question, you're not the full horsepower. You're not getting the full, the Pasuk says, Asakveyu ki yoda shmi yikra'eni v'aneyu. If you're calling to me, you know my name. The first thing that you have to do is to know the name of the one that you're beseeching. So this is how I conclude the article. Imagine what would happen to all those many fervent fellows pronouncing Hashem's name properly, soaring up to heaven and finding their correct address. Imagine the power of those fellows. Who knows? Maybe many sick would be cured. Maybe many new shidduchim would be made. Maybe many unemployed would find parnasa. Maybe Hamas, Hezbollah, the Revolutionary Guards, and Ahmadinejad would be wiped out and destroyed. Maybe Gilad Shalit and Sholem Mordechai Rubashkin would be freed. Maybe Mashiach would come. Maybe. Who knows? Let's all daven to Hashem, period. Really, period. That's the end of the shiur.